Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and happy Monday. I am so excited to have you join me on Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Yes, we are rounding the corner for not only another month that has flown by, but another year. And the question I have for you is, are you ready? Is everything in place for you and your business to end 2014 on a high note that will propel you into 2015 with a leg up? That's what we'll be discussing with our guest today, being prepared for 2015. Now, no matter how great your year was, we all look to make the next year even better. And whether it's November or the end of December, you still have the opportunity to bid a fond farewell to 2014 while making sure that 2015 is starting with all the energy and excitement necessary to set the tone for the rest of the year. Many of us will also reevaluate the direction our business is going. Now, if you're like the majority of entrepreneurs, you could be shaking your head with some of the adjustments you had to make, some of the interesting people you've met along the way, and the way the economy could have caused you some havoc. In any case, there are some things you should be looking at, so let's set up some steps for you to follow. First and foremost, celebrate your accomplishments of 2014. There's always something to celebrate. Instead of beating yourself up for not reaching every goal, go back and look at what you did accomplish. We rarely take time during the year to celebrate our small accomplishments. We're so focused on the next piece that we don't even give ourselves the smallest pat on the back. You do know that if you put all those small accomplishments together, you would see some great movement in your business. So do a quick review of the year and ask yourself, what were your goals? What were your biggest wins? What did you get accomplished? What is still not done or unfinished? What were your biggest aha moments? And what are the opportunities you have that you can actually course correct? Those are just some of the questions you want to ask yourself. But you also want to identify the things that work best, the things that you enjoyed most, and include those things in your 2015 strategy. And make a list of all the things that you didn't enjoy, that didn't work so well, or that you completely avoided for whatever reason, because it's decision time. Do you invest in yourself so that you're able to move these onto your list of things to take on and turn into a win? Or do you find a great resource that will take it on and off your plate? Even moving it off your plate is a reason to celebrate. Next, set your income goal for 2015. Do you have a specific amount of money that you'd like to reach? Write it down, and don't write down more than last year. You have to be specific as to what the dollar amount is, or maybe you want to increase your business by a certain percentage, or possibly a number of new clients. The more detailed you are about your income goals, the likelier you are to reach them. Is there a new program or piece of technology you want to purchase? How many clients would that take? Now, the second part of this is you have to look at what you're spending your time on, or something that just never made it to the top of the list is because you aren't passionate about it, or something that there isn't a market for, or even if it works, does it add to your income stream? If it doesn't meet all your criteria, it may be time to take it off your list and not add it to the 2015 plan. And the last piece, one of my quote-unquote favorites, is to plan your strategy for reaching your goals. I am definitely not the strategizer. Now, having a crazy number that you're aiming to reach, you just might need to have a plan on how you'll reach it. You have to plan how you'll get there, how many new clients you need, what can you offer your existing clients to continue their experience with you, what new programs do you have in your plan, and what kind of marketing will you need to have it in place to make it happen? Can you do it all yourself, or will you need some outside help? The key here is to have everything written down and in great detail. One secret is to write things down in the present tense, so it is as if it's happening right now. For instance, I will be earning X in my business, as opposed to I am earning X in my business. Where would you rather be? I am instead of I will. You want to make sure I have increased my business by X percentage in the present tense. When you write it down as if it's already happening, your buy-in is that much greater. Now, some entrepreneurs think goal setting is torturous, so why not call them resolutions? Hopefully, you won't set them and forget them. So here are some business resolutions that you could bring into the new year and watch your business grow. First, follow up. If you want to set yourself apart from the competition, then follow up. If you promise information to someone, provide it in a timely manner. People have good intentions, but following up is not high on their list. If you promise someone to send out a report or an article that day, then you better make sure before you turn off your light for the evening that it's in their inbox waiting for them. If you can't follow up on something small, why would they want to do business with you? Second, what are your clients spending their money on? Do your services and products fit into what they find valuable? Have you done a survey of your existing clients to see what they need next? It isn't all about the money, but in order to stay in business, you do need to bring in revenue. Third, what is the problem you're trying to solve for your clients in their words? Make sure your marketing is speaking directly to them. Talk about how you would make their lives easier. Don't talk about the plane. Talk about the destination. Fourth, are you still trying to help everyone? Go back and look at your target audience and see if you need to make even smaller and tighter. You want to have the best opportunity to help your market, so make sure you can identify them and speak directly to them. You want to bring value to the people who are waiting for your help. And five, write it down and get it on your calendar. It's like any goal or resolution. If it's not written down, it's a dream. And if you don't have a time attached to it, there's no end in sight and you haven't made it a commitment. Creating your plan for next year is not always the most fun activity to do, but you have to identify what your plan for success and profitability is so you stop waiting and you get started. If you need help and you're a solopreneur, hire a business coach. Someone that isn't as close to your business as you are may see things you don't see that are already there that need to be put into place. As we used to tell our new producers in the insurance world, stop getting ready to get ready. Analysis causes paralysis. Now, I recently spoke to a client who had a full-time position in a company and was building her own business at the same time. She's getting quite a bit frustrated that things are not happening as quickly as she would like. So I asked her, when would she like to be working in her own business on a full-time level? Of course, she said yesterday, but when we went through each piece that she was concerned about, we came up with June 1st, 2015. And what we did next was what brought it into reality for her. We took the new 2015 calendar she has on her desk and circled June 1st as Freedom Day. She started to cry as she now understood the power of goals and writing them down. Before our meeting ended, she added flowers and stars and different colors around her date to start that new chapter of her life. So as we began our discussion about being prepared, we find it has so many different pieces to it. Whether it's financial, personal, or strategic, it's time to take that Girl Scout in you and be ready and be prepared for what life has in store for you. We all know how quickly time passes. Before you know it, we'll be having the same conversation next December. So make sure that things have changed and your business is growing. If there's something you want to achieve, make it happen. Don't put yourself last on your list. Investing in yourself is one way to bring in the next year in with some added power, and we all know what power can do for business. Remember, being prepared will mean the difference between success and failure. When we come back, we'll hear from my first expert who has a thing or two to say about being prepared. This is Selling in the Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Stism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Stism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, if you want to join our discussion, just call in to 347-989-1363, press number 1, and you'll get right on our show. Okay, so let's bring in my first guest, Alexis Gladstone. Alexis is the founder of IntiLead, a management consulting practice which focuses on improving individual and organizational effectiveness. Their specialties include leadership development, organizational change, and business strategies, and that they've worked with a variety of size companies and individuals across different industries, including financial services, healthcare, consumer products, and manufacturing. Alexis has passion for helping women and is the vice president of the Women in Business Committee of Illinois Small Business Advocacy Council. Welcome to the show, Alexis. I am super excited to have you on today.
Thank you, Judy. I'm so excited to be on this with you.
Can you believe that we're already ready to step into a new year in just a couple of days?
I know. Every time it comes to this time of year, every year that this happens, I kind of take a look back and say, it just came up from nowhere. It's just so fast.
I know. It's just incredible. But, you know, the topic that we're talking about is being prepared for 2015. And as fast as it comes up, we still have to be prepared. So the first question I have for you is, why is it so important to have some kind of plan in place, even if it's something like one step? Why is it so important?
I think because for me, if I don't at least have one step, and I'm one of those people you talked about goals, and I'm not the best when it comes to actually setting goals, but if I at least have one thing that I'm shooting for, one thing that I know that I need to do, it does provide focus. It lets us really know whether we're going to achieve it or not achieve it, and gives us something to shoot for, even if it's just the one thing.
Okay, so you personally, do you have any kind of routine that you actually go through at the end of the year to start a new one?
I've actually started doing a couple different things. You had mentioned when you were talking before about celebrating your successes. Mm-hmm. I've also started doing that, and a little bit in that way, so looking back at what I accomplished, what I was able to do for my clients for the year, but also being very realistic about what has that provided me in my skill set and how can I take that and use that going forward and where do I want to focus. So that's something I started doing actually the middle of this year versus even at the year end, and mm-hmm. really being realistic about what it is I'm good at and what it is I can provide provide my clients. I know as women sometimes we're not as good at doing that and being kind of vocal about what we've done and how good we are at it, and I'm starting to try and do that practice where I'm doing that more often, both during the year and at the end of the year.
Okay, well, that makes sense that if you start to do something in the middle of the year, you still have time to correct it. It's like when you walk to work for corporate and they do the end of the year review and they tell you, well, you could have done better, but they don't give you the opportunity. And I think that's great that it's in the middle. But you also know that entrepreneurs are risk takers. That's just what we're known to be, and whether that's true or not true, that's our reputation. So do you think that entrepreneurs that wing it rather than have a plan, are they able to find success? Or they, even if you're a risk taker, do you still need a plan?
I think sometimes what happens with those people who wing it is they'll have success for a while, but I don't believe the growth is always going to be there. So it might be there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, however long that is, but at some point there's going to be a stagnation, and you're not mm-hmm. going to really be able to take that next step and go to that next level, whatever that next level is.
Okay. So let's go back to women now. Now, we all know that women make resolutions about, you know, losing weight and paying bills off and making money, and yet a very high percentage never reach those goals. You know, we put them out there and we just take them back. And it's not even a month sometimes. So do you think women are better at making goals in business, or are they just the same as, you know, personal as well? I mean, do we just not care, or do we just not have it in us? Because I know how I am, and you just said how you are, so what do you think?
You know, that's really funny because I know a lot of women who do, they put their goals out there. They have their vision boards, their passion boards. They have their goals. They have, whether it's a self-improvement goal, whether it's a monetary goal, whether it's a change of job goal, and they're really good and they're very focused and they really are go for it and go at it. And those women are very successful. So I think, I'm not sure if women are any different than men. I think some people do it and some don't. And I'm not quite sure what the reason is that it happens. I don't think I don't personally believe it's a gender thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do know that, you know, women are better at sharing their goals with people. And so then they do have accountability partners. And men don't do that. So I do know that that's true because there's been studies on that. So it's just interesting how goal setting is such a horrible activity for most people.
And I try and look at it for myself, and I'm trying, and sometimes I'll be like, why, what is it about that I'm not, I don't want to say I'm not good at it, but I'm not relentless about constantly setting my goals and then working toward them. Because I do that if I'm working with a client, I will have my project plan mm-hmm. of what needs to be accomplished and when it needs to be done and how it needs to get done and be tracking it that way. When it comes to my business, for my personal growth in the business, I'm not as disciplined about it. So I know I have the capability of doing it because I do it all the time. It's more the discipline of doing it for yourself, and I've not quite figured out what the difference is.
It's do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which can be very true.
What do you see about for women in business in 2015? Do you see any trends coming up or any changes coming up that you've seen with your clients or for yourself? Anything interesting coming up for 2015?
I know for some of my clients, a lot of them are actually looking at how they can support women better within their businesses,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's trying to create women's groups, trying to do specialized training for them that's more focused on things that can help them be successful within their organization. I've been seeing that going on. I've also been seeing a lot of younger women being out there and actually trying to take the entrepreneurial step.
Mm-hmm.
They have tried corporate America. They've tried the larger organizations. And, you know, even in their mid to late 20s, they're actually deciding to go and take that step on their own, which I find very fascinating because I don't know if I would have done that when I was 28, 29 years old.
Mm. Well, you know, there's so many opportunities out there, and sometimes it's not within corporate America. So, you know, that's great for women. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, and it goes to what you were just saying about risk-taking.
Mm-hmm.
There are these younger women who are willing to take that risk and willing to, you know, step out there and see what they can accomplish and see what they can contribute in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you have a title that I saw that you call yourself the Architect of Leadership and Change. I love that title. I think that's an awesome title. So tell our listeners, what does that actually look like?
What I mean by that is the things that I do with the way I help organizations is that I go in and I help with the people side of things. So I help people and organizations be more effective by helping them create programs, processes, and systems, whether it's around people development or whether it's around helping them work through some change that they have to go through in order for the business to be more successful. So what I help do is create the tools and the strategy to help to get them there, and then hopefully the idea is they actually are the ones that implement it. So that's why I call myself the architect of it versus the implementer.
Mm. That's great. So it's really like a partnership.
It is, because my consulting mindset has always been not to go in and be the doer that if I left, that nobody in the organization couldn't take it over and do it for themselves and continue whatever it is we started. My consulting model has always been help the organization, give them some skills, give them some tools so that they can continue on the success path of whatever I've started them on. and they can do it on their own without me, that I should be able to step away.
Okay, well, that shows a sign of a good leader anyway, is when you're trying to get somebody to do it themselves instead of you constantly, you know, being involved in it. That's a good sign of leadership anyway.
Yeah, I call that the hero leader. That's not who I want to be as a consultant.
Right, right. Okay, so talk to us about your company, IntiLead. Like, how did it come into existence? And tell us what you actually do for companies and for individuals.
IntiLead came into existence by happenstance. I had been in corporate America for a very long time, and my job was eliminated, like a lot of people have gone through. And I just started doing consulting, and I started taking the skill sets that I had, which are around leadership development, training delivery, facilitation skills, organization design, and started using my connections to help these organizations. The types of things that I do with IntiLead are varied. I have designed and developed training programs, some award-winning ones that have helped organizations win awards in training areas. I've delivered training for them. I have helped a lot on the topic that people don't like to talk about. Larger organizations do performance management and talk about what are the skills and competencies that will help make the people in the organization successful. And I've helped design and implement a number of those types of programs and processes within companies. So as I said, so it's a variety of things, different things that can always help the organization or the people be more successful, either in their current job or as they grow into future roles also. So it's a variety of those things.
Okay, so when you think about leadership in a company, has the level of leadership opened up more for women, or is it still really heavily male-dominated?
I think that depends on the industry.
Yeah.
As you know, financial services is one of my clients.
Right.
And I think there are certain industries that don't have the representation as much as other industries. I think there are companies that make concerted efforts more so than other companies. And I find it really fascinating, having been in the business world for so long, that sometimes when I step back and take a look, it doesn't seem like things have changed that much over time in certain areas. So I think it really just depends on where you are and who the leaders are and if the leaders really want to make that concerted effort, because it does all start at the top.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When I was on main platform in a very large life insurance event, there was only 10% of 3,000 managing partners and agency managers that were female. And when I had placed an article in their journal, you know, the 6 months later, you know, I said, you know, remember there's only 10% female, because they wanted more women. And I ran the article a second time, and they came back and they said, can you change that to, you know, 11%, because we're up another percent. And I thought,
oh, you're kidding.
No. So I think that, you know, I think that the industry that is so relationship driven, just it's unusual that there's not more women at the top.
Well, in women in that industry, they do so well. I mean, talk about when we were talking before about, you know, setting goals and planning. The women in that industry that I see that are doing really, really well are those who are setting the goals and planning and training other people and really leading within their offices and within their regions. But you're right, they are not representative at the higher levels, which is sometimes I wonder if it's because of their choice or if it's because of the company. And I think there's also that piece of it. I think sometimes women choose not to.
Absolutely. I agree, because a lot of times they're asked to step up to the next level and they really don't want to. They're not, either they don't want to or they're not prepared to, and they choose not to. So yes, I totally agree with that.
Well, there's that statistic about, and I don't remember, you probably know it better than I do, about how if a man is offered a job, they'll look at the job description, and if they have X percent of the skills, they'll go ahead and say yes, versus the woman wants to have 90 to 100% of meet the requirements before they're going to say yes.
Yeah, Well, I'll just tell you one fast little story. When I graduated college and I was going to be a teacher and I was laid off, I got a position as the head of accounting in a Canadian bank, and I had no skills whatsoever in accounting. But I knew back then there weren't computers or anything. I knew the left had to balance the right, and I thought, how hard could that be? So I did it. Today, I don't think I would do it. But back then, I did it. So I guess it also talks about, you know, how much of a risk taker you are. I don't know.
Exactly. You know, you were telling the story that you were just telling about the article you wrote in the 10% versus 11%. One of the companies when I was internal, I worked for the paper industry. Mm-hmm. And they used to have a annual meeting of all of the executives, and there was probably less than 10% women and only about, I think, 30% of those 6 or 8% women that were there were actually executives. The rest were the administrative staff that were helping manage the meeting and plan the meeting. So I've been in that same position also.
Yes, and a lot of times when you go to the C-level, the only female is HR.
HR, so sometimes corporate counsel.
Yes, sometimes. So.
But definitely usually HR.
Yes. Okay, I want to talk about your newest title, which is author. And I'm so excited that you actually joined the Pure Wealth Project with us. So tell me, you know, was it something you wanted to do, writing a chapter in a book and becoming a best-selling author? Or was it something that you hadn't thought about, but you thought, well, you know, for 2014, I'm going to check it off my bucket list?
You know, it's funny you say that because I've wanted to write a book. I've been waiting to see what the right moment was going to be and what the right content was going to be. So when you gave me the opportunity to actually write that chapter and contribute to what I think is a fabulous anthology, while I didn't feel I was, that was wasn't part of my 2014 goals to actually do it, but it was part of a longer-term vision of what I had, so I decided to take that risk and jump in and do it and had so much fun and accomplished so much in that very short time, and it was great.
Well, good, because I love to, you know, when you have never written a book before and you see your name in print, because I remember the very first time I saw my name in print, I was just beside myself. I was in tears when I actually saw my book with my name on it. So I just thought, you know, this is such a great topic about pure wealth, and it isn't only about money. It's just about what people truly believe pure wealth is to them. So what was the chapter about, and why did you write it?
My chapter was about, I called it the business of networking, because I believe that in this day and age, building your networks is one of the most important things you can do, whether you're inside a large organization or whether you're out on your own like we are as entrepreneurs. And what I've found is, as I'm going out and about, people don't always know how to be strategic about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to write my chapter about what I've learned and how I approach networking, which I feel is very strategic in terms of knowing why I'm going to a certain event or why I'm joining a certain organization, what I expect to get out of it, who I may want to meet, and also using a lot of different means of networking, because as we all know, there's with social media, there's a lot of different ways to connect with people around the globe at this point. You don't even have to leave the comforts of your own office. So I wanted to help people really think through a way of networking that where they're going to actually help themselves and or their business by doing it well versus going out and handing out and collecting business cards.
Right. So you're talking about networking with intention, being strategic with it, and it's just, I mean, it's really amazing the opportunities that open up for you when you do it the right way.
Well, and the other piece of that, which I strongly believe in, and I know you do also, which is you don't do it just for yourself to get something. You have to give. And my philosophy is when I give enough, it will come back to me. And you have to be patient because you never know when or how it's going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But having that intention of giving versus receiving, I think, is a mindset that really sets somebody apart when they're out there meeting other people.
Absolutely. Now, I know that your website is under construction right now. So if our listeners want to learn more about what you're doing and want to stay connected with you, where should they go?
They can find me on Twitter at Alexis Gladstone. They can find me on LinkedIn. And they can also email me at Alexis at Intelead, which is Inteled, Inc., INC.com.
Okay, perfect. And the last thing, because we're going to run out of time, what do you want to leave our listeners with?
I want to leave everyone with, besides wishing everyone a very happy, prosperous 2015, I want you to think about what you want to do for 2015 for yourself or for your business. And even if you write one thing down, that you go and you do it and you find one thing to focus on, if you're kind of like me and not good at planning and goal setting that way, but put one thing down and try it and go for it and see what fruits of your labors come from that.
Awesome. Awesome. I think if everybody wants strategy, we have to bring the Colonel into this.
There we go.
Well, Alexis, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been fun and enlightening, and I can't wait to have you back on and update everybody on what 2015 was looking like for you.
Thank you for having me, Judy. This was great. Appreciate it.
Okay. You have a good and a wonderful Happy New Year.
You also.
Thank you. And we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsor, The Report for Women, which is an important resource for women in business. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com and you subscribe for free. What I want you to do is save it in your favorite places and the report will automatically update on a regular basis. Now, if you're ready to watch your business grow and get some great buzz, become one of our sponsors. Go to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com, click on the sponsor tab, and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you need to stay connected with me and my guests and everybody else. So let's start with the easiest way to gain access is to use social media. So like us on Facebook on Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. You can be my friend on Facebook at Judy Hoberman and, of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. You can also use hashtag Selling in a Skirt and Skirt Wisdom as well. And don't forget, you can get all my shows on iTunes by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyholderman.com. Click on the icon for iTunes, and there you go. Now, also, if you want to have be on the show today and ask any questions, please call in 347-989-1363 and press number 1, and Tony will get you right on. So let's bring on my next amazing guest, Amy Applebaum. Amy is one of the most sought-after entrepreneurial coaches in the country. Over the past decade, she's helped thousands of entrepreneurs achieve success in their businesses through her Success Club and private consulting practice. She's helped countless entrepreneurs create seven-figure businesses and has built multiple seven-figure businesses herself. She's the author of Frustrated to Fabulous in Fixable Steps and is also a contributing author of Pure Wealth, 26 Ways to Crazy Profitability. She's been featured on ABC News, CNN, TLC, Martha Stewart Radio, as well as the New York Times, Women's World, Shape, and more. In 2014, Amy and her partner, Catherine Gluckstein, launched Blue Pen, a business dedicated to helping entrepreneurs achieve success. And we are going to talk all about that. So welcome to the show, Amy. This is going to be a fun second half of the show.
What up, Judy?
It's always fun
Thank
when
you.
I have two of my girls on this show, one after another.
I know, right?
Yes. So
it's good to have friends.
Yes. And I have so many questions to you for you because I know what you do for women. I mean, I've been a part of it. I've loved every moment of it. So let's dive in because I know there's lots of people listening. And talk about being prepared for 2015. Why do you think it's so important to have a plan in place in order to be successful?
I think that we often, as entrepreneurs, myself included, spin our wheels when we don't have a plan. And it seems so obvious, have a plan. But the reality is most people don't actually have one. They kind of have one. They have an idea of what they want to achieve. But it's not front and center. It's not a really clear vision with really clear goals and really clear action steps, follow through, commitment, all of those things that are so critical. That's what makes the difference between the successful and the unsuccessful. So I really think that in order to achieve, you know, a real significant jump in your success for 2015, we have to kind of stop talking about what we want to do and really just start doing things differently, better, and with more commitment.
So do you think that the word commitment is really the secret? Because a lot of people, you know, they're interested in doing better, they're interested in making more money, they're interested in this, but they never fully commit. Do you think that is that the word that we need to look at?
Yeah. I mean, commitment is massive. Because commitment is, it's really great to have a great vision. You know, you can have the most inspiring vision. But then you have to have a mission to support that, which means what am I going to do to achieve that vision? And if you're not actually committed to doing what it takes, you just won't have that business. And that's okay. I think you said something that's really key, and that is we have to be really honest with ourselves about if we're really willing to do what it takes to be successful. And we have to really define what success means to us because we can kind of, I feel like sometimes we just have to stop kidding ourselves or pretending that we want something that we don't. Because I think that commitment goes along with reality in a way, meaning don't pretend that you want something that you don't want. Say you're going to do it, make this commitment, tell other people about it, then feel badly because if you really dug underneath, you would really recognize that maybe you're not that committed. Maybe you don't want to do it at that level. Maybe you just want to be secure and be able to bring in some extra income for your family. Not everybody has to wake up and, you know, be the next Donald Trump. So I think the commitment comes from really starting off by being honest with yourself.
Okay, now I know that there's five steps that you talk about, but before we get into that, I want to ask a serious question. You are a tough coach, and I know you are fair and tough, and I know that you demand a lot from people because you know what their abilities are. But have you ever had to really look at somebody and say, what are you doing? Because what you're trying to do, just either there's no market for it or they're not going about it right. Have you ever had to take away their vision because it's not the right vision? Maybe it's a vision for them, but it's not right for the market space?
Yeah, I have. I've never had to take away somebody's vision, but we've had to rethink how they would build a business from that vision. You know, if you want the world to be a peaceful place, or you want to solve world hunger, or you want, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. So to me, a vision is the big picture. It's the, you know, shoot, it's the shoot for the moon. It's peace on earth. I mean, you know, how do we achieve peace on earth? There's a million ways. You could be a comedian and travel around making people laugh in order to create peace. Or you could negotiate with different cultures. You could, you know, work on negotiations between, you know, intercultural communications. You could, I mean, there's so many businesses that could be born out of the vision of peace on earth. So what I would say in answer to that question, Judy, is I would never sit on someone's vision. I just might want to shift their mission, which means change up the car they're driving in order to achieve the vision.
Right. Okay, that makes definitely more sense. But yeah, because I know that you've made many people very successful, and I know you've got some famous people as well, but I know that you don't just say, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. I know you really, you know, you hold them accountable. And with that said, you say, you know, you talk about five different pieces in order to make that significant jump in 2015. So can you share what it's about? I know you can't give, like, you know, a 7-hour dissertation, but can you just share with our listeners, what does it look like to actually put pieces into place in order to make a significant jump?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously starts with vision. And I know you're going to interject me on some of these, because I could just go on each one of these topics. But it really starts with vision. Have an inspired vision. Have a focused vision. Even though peace on earth is a massive vision, it is focused. It's clear. You're trying to achieve peace. Sometimes I listen to or read or hear some of these visions, and it's all over the place. And the problem is that you can't act on that. So you want to have a clear and concise and simple, a simplistically written vision, so that it's actionable, so that you can actually do something about it. I think the second piece is truth. It's something that we were just talking about when you said, you know, you've got to be honest with people. So when you get in there and you've decided this is my vision and this is what I want to do in the world, the second part of that is this true? Do I actually want to do this? Am I willing to do what it takes? So those conversations, I'm just kind of going back and thinking about when you said, I hadn't thought about that in a long time. Like, what are those conversations that, you know, you have with people when you're getting to you've got to get to the truth when somebody's got a vision for a business? Because the truth is going to determine the success or not. Because they have to be honest with themselves about whether or not they're going to do what it takes in order to follow through to achieve that vision. Oftentimes, you said, I'm a tough coach, and I think what I really try to do is push people towards what they said they were committed to. That's what I push them towards. And I am not disappointed if it turns out that they find out that they're not committed to it anymore. And the reason is because being an entrepreneur is hard. I mean, it does have all the benefits of flexibility, freedom of time, set your own schedule, do things on your, you know, create your own destiny. I mean, I love entrepreneurship. I stand for entrepreneurship, but it is hard. And so it just comes back to that, being honest with yourself. I would rather have somebody find out sooner rather than later that, you know what, I actually don't want to do what it takes. That's why I'm tough on people, in pushing them towards what they said they were committed to. Because the more you push them towards that, they'll either resist or they'll go for it.
Absolutely.
And if they resist, that's not a bad thing. It's okay to say, this is not quite what I want to do. I want to dial this down.
Exactly. And the Colonel always says to me, people either qualify or disqualify themselves, and you just have to sit back and watch sometimes. You give them the tools, and they will say to you, you know what, Amy, this is great, but I don't really think I want to do this. So they actually disqualify themselves, and maybe, you know, turning that, tweaking it a little bit, you make it easier for them to find what they really want to do.
Right. I actually think that's a great point. It is, because they can get to the heart of what matters to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So wait, I want to ask you a question. When you were talking about the vision and commitment, when you were talking about like keeping it simple and everything, do you think that women have more difficulty keeping that vision simple because we actually want to help everyone? We don't want to leave anybody out. So do you think we have more issues with that, or is it more difficult for us?
I never thought about it in terms of gender. I think women are superwomen, and they want to achieve. I think the big thing with women is that they lack sometimes a realistic idea. And this is generalizing, by the way. So all of you women who this doesn't apply to, you know, it doesn't apply. But I guess I'm saying that we oftentimes, not only do we want to take on the world because we think we're fabulous multitaskers. I hate multitasking. We can talk more about that. And that's where that focus comes from. But I do think that we also think we can do it all today. Like, we should pursue it all today. So I think what I find often with women, generally speaking, is I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go, okay, great, by when? By next year. And then I just kind of plots. Because it's like, no, I mean, you can't. I mean, not if you also want to keep your husband and your children intact and have a family and all the other things that you said were important. So that balance is really critical. You know, really, there was a note I wrote myself about balance. I can't find it right now. I just did it yesterday. But I think really understanding what is it that you want and need today? What are you trying to achieve in this next year? Like, there's two things we should focus on in business, in my perception. One is ringing the register. You build a business to make money. And help people, you know, in whatever way you're helping them. But at the end of the day, the end result is that you're ringing that register. So when you're taking action in your business, you're either taking an action that leads to a sale, or you're taking an action that builds awareness or your brand, brand perception, brand awareness. Those are the choices. And depending on how fast you want to grow, depends on how much brand building you do versus sales activity. But all of that, right, so there's the balance inside of a business, but that has to be balanced inside of your life.
Right.
You can't pull 18-hour days and expect to be the perfect mom and the perfect wife and all of those other things. So, yeah, I do think we try to do it all and have unrealistic expectations. I see this in general with entrepreneurs, of what we can achieve by when.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go back to the five pieces because I have more questions after that. So we had vision, we had commitment, and now the third one is goals. So what happens with goals?
Goals people make too complicated. You know, goals and out of sight, out of mind, okay? We go and we spend all this time. It's New Year's, you know, it's 2015. I'm going to write out all my goals, and then they're going to go inside of this notebook that I wrote them in, and I'm not going to look at them again. I'm telling you, this is 90% of the entrepreneurs, and 90% of the entrepreneurs are failing in the United States. So of the 28 million businesses that exist right now, 50% will fail in the next 2 to 5 years. That is alarming. So we've got to change our relationship with goals. Like, set a goal because you're aiming to achieve it, and it needs to be in front of you. You need to be looking at it. And so they can't be so complex that you can't make out what you need to do today. So go ahead and take your notebook and have your year goals written down. But the goals that matter the most are when you dripped that down, when you backed those goals out, what are you doing today? What are you going to do this week to build brand awareness and increase sales? Which boils down to today.
Okay. Okay.
So simplifying those goals, short goals, sweet, focused, so that you understand them and you know what to do.
Yep, and keep them where you can see them. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And number four?
I don't know. What's number four? Mindset?
Four with mindset.
I think it's mindset. Make sales fun. There's a lot of different mindset shifts that we have to be thinking about in 2015 to really bust up our business. First is, let's get a new relationship with sales, everybody. Make it fun. You know, it's been really exciting. I'm building this new business. We have a ridiculous goal. of building a fabulously $100 million company in the next 4 years. You can all chase me down if I don't achieve it. But gosh, if I achieved half of it, wouldn't that be amazing, Judy?
Yeah, absolutely. And you have your goal there, which I think is wonderful.
Yes. So that's the big picture goal, but that is backed up. And what I mean by that is mindset, sales, going back. Sales is like a core part of your business, and everyone in 2015 needs to say, I love sales. I want to be involved in sales. Sales is fun. I can't wait to tell people about what I do. And I have to tell you, I have had the best experience with sales, Judy, with Blue Pen.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't checked it out, it's not everyone's going to bluepen.com, which seems obvious, but it's joinbluepen.com.
Yeah. Everywhere.
No. But I have to tell you, I'm building this massive sales force. We have directors all over the country, New York, Indiana, Virginia, California, Texas. I'm flipping out, Judy. It's so exciting. And what's exciting about it is we're building a team, and it's all based on our vision to support entrepreneurs in their success. So what you've got to do with your businesses, ladies, is you have to hone in on why your vision is so awesome. That's why I said shoot for the moon on vision, right? That's what Les Brown said, shoot for the moon, and you need to. So peace on earth, although I'm sure that's not your vision for your business, but that's an incredible vision. It's inspiring. It's short. It's sweet. It's simple. You can imagine it. You want to create that so that when you go and you start selling, You love your vision, and you can talk about it. There's nothing that excites me more right now than every day calling up somebody and saying, listen, I've started a new business. I am so excited to discuss it with you. I have a partnership in mind. I don't want to tell you on the phone. Call me. Let's talk about it. And then get on the phone with them and really share and impart this vision that we have. So, ladies, you've just got to get to why what you started is beneficial. Not everybody's going to have a big aspirational business. Some people are just going to sell, you know, toys or a product. But you've got to find something that's unique and fun and fabulous about it so that when you talk about it, people care to listen. And that's how you can make sales fun.
Absolutely. But, you know, you do know that entrepreneurs and salespeople many times feel alone and isolated because they basically are solopreneurs. So how does Blue Pen fill that void?
Oh, well, Blue Pen, thank you for asking. We have Blue Pen clubs that we are launching all over the country. So the Blue Pen clubs are opportunities to get in groups with other entrepreneurs and actually work on your business together and really support each other in your local community. So we're opening up cities and states all over. So people who are interested, think they would make a great leader in a club like this, please reach out to us. But here's the thing. If you don't have a Blue Pen club in your local area, the bigger picture, I mean, thank you for the plug, but the bigger picture is that you need a team of people. You solopreneurs cannot be doing business alone. You just can't. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
So the first thing that I would say is, depending on how big you want to grow, I mean, if you want to get into several million, you need to get some salespeople. One or two is fine. Bring them on. Like, we've got to get people rolling with what it is that you're doing. It's so exciting when you have other people out there sharing the incredible products and services that you have. You can also be masterminding and bonding, which is exactly what the Blue Pen Clubs are all about, with other entrepreneurs who actually care. So you've got a community of people who are all out for your success. You can create those mentor teams. You can create those, colleague and peer teams so that you don't feel isolated, as Judy was saying.
Right. And I think that that's important to know that, you know, that you're not by yourself. There's plenty of other people that are in the same position, different levels, and you always want to be surrounded by people that are smarter than you are because you don't want to be the smartest person in the room and then you're in the wrong room. But Blue Pen actually fills the void of doing business by yourself because, as you said, you can't do business by yourself. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. So, again,
it doesn't. And then you feel like you're doing everything and then, you know, and we are. As solopreneurs, we are doing everything. And if you want to keep it small, you know, say you're a graphic designer and you only want to have 5, 10, 15, 20 clients and you feel like you can manage it yourself and you don't really want a staff and you don't want to grow bigger, that's okay. But you need to think about how you can work synergistically with other people, whether it be in a creative workspace where there's multiple entrepreneurs there that you can bond with, or you join a specific networking group or a success club like Blue Pen. You've got to get that support, because otherwise you will just fizzle out. And the sales part, it requires an inspired mindset, an inspired attitude.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, you know we are going to run out of time. So two things. Number one, Tell everyone where they can connect with you. And number two, quickly, what do you want our listeners to take away from what you're talking about today? Because they are going into 2015 in just a couple of days.
Okay. Well, you can find me all over. Look up Amy Applebaum. I'm on Facebook, just facebook.com/AmyApplebaum. Also, you know, just go to joinbluepen.com. Check out the site. See how we can support you. That's the best way that you can connect with me. Mm-hmm. And what I want everybody to walk away with is I want you to develop this year a stronger relationship with the commitments that you make, with your word, with your promises, so that when you write a goal, you do things to intend to actually follow through. So if you write it on a sheet of paper and then stick it in a drawer, you did actually not intend to follow through with that. When we build a strong relationship with our word, we do things because we said that we would. And then after we do it, we get the benefit. In the same way that if you're going to run a marathon, it is not fun to get up every day and train, but you do it because otherwise you can't run the race. And it's the same thing with entrepreneurship. I want you to have a stronger relationship with the promises that you make about what you're going to do in your business on a day-to-day basis. Stop questioning. Wake up and do it. Just do it because you said that you would. That's
Absolutely.
What I've got, Judy.
Awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for sharing the mic with me today. You have the most amazing business coming up, your plan. I am excited to see a Blue Pen Club in every city going forward, and hopefully you will come back and keep us updated.
I will. I absolutely will. I adore you. So big hug to all of your listeners and to you, Judy, and we'll talk really soon.
Sounds great. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with just a few more ideas about being prepared for 2015. This is Selling a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So let's wrap up the show with a few simple suggestions for starting the year off right. So whether you're starting a business or growing your business, here's the plan. Number one, take a realistic look at your business expenses and decide if they're higher than you realize. Your goal is to lower your expenses, and if you have your numbers in front of you, you'll probably see ways to cut some of the costs and make your business run even smoother than you thought. Number two, find more customers. Take a look at your existing marketing plan and, again, see what worked and what didn't. Are you using social media to your best advantage? Are you using targeted ads to find your perfect client? Do you have your list of strategic partners that are in your space that complement you rather than compete? Number three, invest in yourself and learn something new. Keep your vision and mission intact, but see if you can add a new twist to your repertoire. Learning something new that you can share with your clients will round out your offering and create new opportunities. Number four, make sure you take time for you. Don't let your business swallow you up so that you lose you. Make time for your family and friends. While you may have the opportunity to work 24/7, it's the easiest form of burnout, and you'll lose your passion. Being an entrepreneur can be the best career on the planet. You chose it for many different reasons, and keep those reasons in front of you. As Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.